Okay, this week's parsha, Parsha's Emor. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Emor al Kohenim bnei Aaron va'amarta laem lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav." Hashem said to Moshe, "Speak to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none of them should become tamei meis." What does tamei meis mean? What's tamei meis? Tamei meis is that a Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a dead body. Now, if you look carefully at the words, lo yitama ba'amav, there seems to be something that's going on over here. You should not become tamei from any person amongst his nation, amongst his king. Look what Rashi says. Rashi says, ba'od shahames betoch amav, yasa meis mitzvah. What are we talking about? We're talking about the following scenario. Let's say a person dies, and they're what's called a meis mitzvah. You know what a meis mitzvah means?
Yes.
A meis mitzvah means they have no one to bury them. Either because they have no one to bury them, or because it's not clear, right, what happened, they don't have any relatives, whatever it is, meis mitzvah, no one to bury them. Okay. What happens if no one can bury them? Can a kohen become tamei meis? If there's no one else to bury them, very good. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Ba'od shahames betoch amav." If the nifter, if the person who passed away, is within the nation, what does that mean? They're within the nation. They have people to bury them. Then lo yitama. Then you shall not become tameh. Yatza meis mitzvah. This comes to exclude somebody who is a meis mitzvah. If nobody is there to bury them, then the Kohen can get involved. Then the Kohen could bury them. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, you know, every single halacha, every single word in Chumash is relevant to every single generation. If the Torah is eternal, that means that it's eternal, not only for back then, but also for us. So there's a halacha. Lo yitama ba'amav. You should say it's a practical halacha. Today, if a Kohen was there and no one's around to bury the Kohen should bury the person. But what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with us tonight in Bar Miriam? What does it have to do with us? So that's our question for tonight. The shiur tonight is based on a shiur. It's a beautiful shiur that I saw from Rav Moshe Weinberger. I don't want to take any credit for myself. The shiur comes from Rav Weinberger, but a stunning, beautiful shiur, and I think an important lesson for all of us, and maybe a lesson that I think, if I'm being honest, now that we just learned about... Again, we don't know we don't know what happened. We just know that the initial reports that came in are not good, that soldiers were injured or killed fighting. So maybe this shiur resonates deeply and in a different way than it would have an hour ago. You know, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a piece of Torah into the world in a particular place, in a particular time, and it means one thing at 7 o'clock in the evening, and maybe it means something else at 8:45. If we would have given this shiur 2 hours ago, maybe it would have meant something different. I hope that tonight's shiur will mean something for us in this moment. The Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh, if you look on your sheet over here, you don't have to see it inside. It's not so important. But the Zohar HaKadosh, if you look on the second page, it says, Moshe Shushbina Damalkahava V'dat Teferes Mitama Sanhedre V'chulu V'chulu. And it says, Aaron Shushbina Dematronisa. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Shushbina Demalka, and Aaron HaKohen is called the Shushbina Dematronisa. What do those words mean? What do those words mean? You know, the minhag is in Klal Yisrael that when a chassan and kala go to the chuppah, somebody escorts them. You know that? You've been to a wedding?
Yeah?
So in a Jewish wedding, what happens? The chassan walks down with his parents, or with his father and his father-in-law. The kala walks down with her parents, or with her mother and her mother-in-law, depending on your minhag. They walk down the aisle. We don't go down the aisle alone. We have a relationship with Hashem. In our relationship with Hashem, Hashem is called the chassan, the husband, and Klal Yisrael is called the kala. We are the wives. It's a marriage that takes place between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who walks Hashem down the aisle, and who walks us down the aisle? If we're getting married, Matan Torah is coming up soon, right? Soon we have Shavuos. Girls, what, when do we leave Bar Miriam? After Shavuos, yeah? Right after Shavuos. Ah, good. So not every seminary stays till that long. Baruch Hashem, you girls are in a seminary that's giving you that opportunity. So we have Shavuos is a wedding. Who's going to walk Hashem down the aisle? Who's going to walk us down the aisle? So Moshe Rabbeinu is called Shushbina Demalka. You know what Shushbina Demalka means? It means he is the best man for Hashem. He escorts Hashem to Har Sinai. And who walks Klal Yisrael to Har Sinai? Aaron HaKohen. So Moshe Rabbeinu brings Hashem to the chuppah, and Aaron HaKohen brings us to the chuppah. This is what the Zohar HaKadosh says. Question is, what does this mean? What is this telling us about the role of Moshe Rabbeinu? What is it telling us about the role of Aaron HaKohen? Because that's what this week's parasha is about, right? That's what we just learned. A Kohen is not allowed to be Tamei Meis. So the Zohar HaKadosh is giving us an insight into what's the nature of a Kohen. What's a Kohen? A Kohen is someone who walks Klal Yisrael down the aisle. What does that mean? What is that? What's the depth of that? It sounds very poetic, but what does it actually mean? So I want to share with you a Gemara. You hear? You hear the...
Yeah.
Again, we have to have Akar Satov. We hear the F-16s flying overhead. And what are they flying overhead for? They're flying overhead so that we could learn Torah in Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh. We have to have Akar Satov to every single soldier that's fighting for us. And what's our responsibility? To learn Torah on their behalf in the schus of their success, in the schus of their refuah shalem.
Amen.
What, question on what we just said?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Can you just repeat the part about Moshe being the best?
Moshe Rabbeinu is called Shushbina Damalka. He escorts Hashem to the chuppah. And Aaron HaKohen is called Shushbina Damatronisa. He escorts us to the chuppah. But what does that mean? It sounds poetic. What does it mean that Hashem is escorted by Moshe Rabbeinu? More importantly for us tonight, what does it mean that Aaron HaKohen escorts Klal Yisrael to the chuppah? What do those words mean? So there's a Gemara. We're not going to get into the details of the Gemara, but I want you to see one word of the Gemara here. The Eima Geula Tielo Ki Heichi Delo Litama Bein Hanachrim. The Tosher Rebbe says, look at this Gemara. The Gemara is talking about, again, we're not going to get into the details of the Gemara. You just need to know the word. What does Yitama mean? We translated, if you go back to the first page, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Emor HaKohen Bnei Aaron V'Amart Aleihem L'Nefesh Lo Yitama. What does the word Yitama mean? To become impure, to become tame, to become defiled. But look at how the Gemara uses it. Heichi D'Lo Litama Bein Hanachrim. So that you shall not become assimilated amongst the Gentile nations of the world. Fascinating. Look what the Tosher Rebbe says. The Tosher Rebbe says, when this is for us, the job of the Kohen, we just got done saying, is to escort Klal Yisrael to the chuppah. What does that mean? The job of the Kohen is to make sure, like the Pasuk says, Lo Yitama Be'amav. The Tosher Rebbe says, they shall not become what? What does Yitama mean? Assimilated. They shall not become assimilated. What's the job of the Kohen? The job of the Kohen is to make sure that we don't become assimilated. And that those who do become assimilated, what's the job of the Kohen? To return us. You know what it means to be a parent who walks a child down the aisle? I, Baruch Hashem, have one married daughter. I've done it once. I walked my daughter down the aisle. You know what that means? It means that I'm, in a certain way, I'm giving her over to her chassan, but it also means I brought her to that moment. Meaning, I'm responsible. That's what it means to be a father of the Kala. I take responsibility for this girl to make sure that she could arrive at this moment of the chuppah, and then I give her to her chassan. And then her chassan takes it from there. This is a big thing. This is a big yesod in parenting. The job of a parent is to make sure that the child is pure, obviously, but even more important, does not become assimilated, does not lose their identity. That's not such an easy thing to do. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, the answer is everybody, how many of us on some level, I shouldn't say it like this, but it's a little bit too extreme, but I mean it in a certain way, how many of us lost our identity in high school? How many of us in ninth grade, remember the trauma of ninth grade? In eighth grade, I had all these friends. And then I came into ninth grade, and I see, I Baruch Hashem, I have five daughters. Four of them have already been ninth graders. I have a nine-year-old. She's not yet. She has not yet suffered the trauma of ninth grade. Be'ez Hashem, she will. But four for four. That's what I see. Ninth grade, they spend the entire ninth grade asking themselves the following question. Who are my friends? What crowd am I a part of? I personally don't understand this. How is it? What do you mean, what crowd are you a part of? You were friends with all these girls for the first 8 years. You went to the same high school. What happened? But it's different than ninth grade. You have to know, like, which group are you a part of? And you see, they start to, like, separate. Girls that were friends their entire life. I'll say to my daughter, I noticed that Sarah doesn't come over anymore. She's part of a different chevra now. It's trauma. It's trauma. And then the girls, by the way, that have no chevra, it's like, what's that game? With musical chairs. And then there's that one girl that's left standing going, I think I have no friends. And so she tries to attach herself to a group, and then that group sits there discussing whether they should allow her into the group. I'm like, Rachmanel, it's long. It's a person. So what do we do in ninth grade? In ninth grade, I've seen this, four for four. In ninth grade, girls, they try to assimilate their identity to be liked by others. I'm part of your chever, right? We're part of the same group. Look, we have the same interests. Look, I'm like you, right? And all of a sudden, I'm not saying they become different people, but it's like they're trying on a mask. They're trying on, you ever see that? Like, you're like, I want to try on how it feels to say these words. You ever do that? You ever say something that you don't really believe just to see what it's like to say it? And then you're like, I didn't like the way that came out. Like, it just didn't feel like me. You ever have that? It's because what you're doing is, in a certain sense, you've lost your identity and you're trying to find your identity. What's the job of the father who brings his daughter to the chuppah? He's saying, I brought her to you. All of her, meaning she's her. She hasn't lost her identity. She's her. That's what allows her to participate in a relationship. Girls, can you get married if you're pretending to be somebody that you're not?
No.
You know, people do this all the time. They date. You know how, like, I'm sure you don't know, but I'm sure you've never dated before in your life. But let's say you show up on a first date. You know what you do on a first date? You pretend to be somebody that you're not just to make sure that you're well-liked. You never do that? You ever show up and be like, oh, yeah, you like that, I like that too, right? Like, no, you don't. You've never done that in your life. It's like, no, you have to feel it out. You're like, is it safe to be myself yet, right? You let your crazy out a little bit at a time. But what happens if a girl dates a guy like that for months? And then they get engaged. And the guy has never met her before. Even though they've spent all this time before, the entire time that she was dating, who was she? Somebody else. And now they got engaged. Who's he married to? He's married to a version of herself. Girls, what's the goal of marriage? The goal of marriage is to become one with your husband. How could you become one with somebody if you're not even present in the relationship? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know how many times a guy will come to me and say, like, how much do I have to tell this girl before I get engaged?
What?
Or can I just tell her after we're engaged? I'm like, okay, what's your best case scenario here? Like, now she's trapped? That's what you want? Or do you want to get engaged to somebody that you can't be honest with? Does that make sense? I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't say it, but, like, really? It's like a big secret? Like, you're holding it in your pocket? If you're holding yourself back, who's participating in the relationship? The job of the shushbina, the job of the one that escorts you to the chuppah, the parent, the kohen, is to be able to say, I've brought her. She's present. She's not assimilated. Her identity is her own, and therefore she's capable of participating in a relationship. This is a big job. This is the job of the kohen. Lo yitama, says the Tosher Rebbe. The job of Aaron HaKohen is to make sure that every single Jew is Jewish. To make sure that every single Jew retains their Jewish identity and has strong connection with who they are. Because if you don't, how could you be in a relationship with Hashem? And I have a question. It's an uncomfortable question to ask. And again, I'm saying it in an extreme way. Take it with a grain of salt. Take it down a peg. But I'm saying it in an extreme way. Sometimes I feel, maybe I shouldn't say this, it's not so nice, but sometimes I feel like we became a little guyish, no?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying anything bad about Klal Yisrael, but it's like, who are our heroes? Who's on our walls? When I was growing up, I'll admit it. When I was growing up, I had a picture of Michael Jordan on my wall. I had a picture of Muhammad Ali on my wall. I had a picture of a certain television show. Like, they're like, my father was in advertising, so he brought home like a very well-known television show. He brought like their poster home. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
I had a picture, I think, of Patrick Ewing on my wall. Who are the people on our walls? What are the books on our shelves? What are the influences in our home? It's hard to connect to Hashem when we've become assimilated. What's the job of the Kohen? The job of the Kohen is to make sure that we show up. Now, in my home, and I hope I give you a bracha, you were able to do the same. My wife was makbid when we built our home. Who's going to be on the walls? Pictures of our gedolim, pictures of our leaders. Who are the people that we aspire to be like? These things matter. They're not stam. They matter tremendously. The job of the Kohen is to ensure, the job of the Rebbe, the teacher, the Kohen, as we're going to see in a minute, it's all the same person, is to make sure lo yitama ba'amav, that you don't become assimilated. Take a look at the Gemara in Megillah over here. Unbelievable Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara is talking about, again, we're not going to get into the details of this. Who gets Kohen? You know, we have three, you know, you have Mondays and Thursdays, you have laning, yeah? Who gets Kohen? So what's the answer? Who gets Kohen? Who gets the first Aliyah? A Kohen. But the Gemara says an unbelievable thing. The Gemara tells a story. Rav, the great sage Rav, he was given the first bracha. That's what the Gemara in Megillah says, and not the Kohen. And the Gemara explains why did he get it if he wasn't a Kohen. Normally we give Kohen to a Kohen. You know what the Gemara says? If you're the leading authority, if you're the leading Torah authority of your generation, you're a Kohen. You know what that means? It means that a Jewish leader, and I'm going to say this again, I'm going to say this in a sharp way. The job of a Jewish leader is to be a Kohen. What's the job of the Kohen? What did we just say?
To bring
every single Jew to Hashem, to escort us down the aisle, to make sure that we're not assimilated, to make sure that we are ourselves, to make sure that we are Jews, so that we can be in a relationship with Hashem. Who's the Kohen of today? It's not just the Kohanim, the guys with the name Kohen or Rappaport. Those are famous Kohen names. It's not just those guys. It's every single Rebbe, every single teacher, every single Mechanechet, every single Rakezet, and God willing, every single one of you. Because every one of us will be in a position of influence in our lives. We'll be mothers, perhaps we'll be teachers, perhaps we'll be people in our community that could lead. Are you a leader just by taking those that are unassimilated to Hashem? No. The job of the Kohen is to bring every single Jew to make sure every single Jew shows up. Yeah?
So why couldn't it just say every Jew that is high up or whatever is responsible for...
Every Jew is responsible for every other
Jew. Why doesn't it just say that? Why does it have to say Kohanim and then we figure out...
Yeah, because it's saying more than that. It's not just Stam, every Jew is responsible for every Jew. That's one level. This is saying on some level, when we look at the leaders of our generation, the Gedolim, the Tzaddikim, the Rebbes, the teachers, yeah, all those people, they have to be the Kohen. It's more than just I'm responsible for you. Of course I'm responsible for you. But what specifically is the Kohen responsible for? To make sure you don't assimilate. To make sure you don't lose your identity. And this is not a small thing. You know, sometimes, this might not be so nice, sometimes a Rebbe, in their attempt to help a girl become frum, if they're not paying attention, what they might do? They might lead a girl to give up her identity in order to become frum. And that's the opposite of what we want also. You know, each one of you, you have an amazing personality. You have an amazing gift that Hashem gave you. Everyone in this room has something that Hashem gave them. Do you have to kill that gift in order to become frum? Do you kill your own identity? If you kill your own identity in order to become frum, that's the opposite of frumkeit. You know, there was a woman, she used to live on my block, married woman, exceptionally, exceptionally talented person. She was going to Broadway. You know, like all these stories, like, oh, she's going to Broadway. No, she was going to Broadway. Her parents were both actors.
Oh, yeah.
She went, he told you this?
Yeah.
She went to a top acting school in high school, and she was in a school called NYU Tisch. NYU Tisch. This is the school. So, it's true, she couldn't be frum and work on Broadway. That she couldn't be on stage. But she found a way to harness her talents. She found a way to harness her identity.
Wow.
You cannot, she herself happened, she took the same skills that is a little bit too complicated to explain right now, but basically she became like a marriage therapist, but she like explained to us how it was like really the same skill set. It was an amazing thing how she explained how it was really the same thing. I never thought acting had anything to do with relationships. But the emphasis is, she explained to me that acting is really all about relationships. The actor on stage somehow comes across to the audience and creates a relationship with the audience. And Mamish never thought about it that way, but she says it's exactly the same skill set. Okay, interesting. My point is this. If you have to amputate a part of yourself in order to be in a relationship with Hashem, it means you don't understand what it means to be in a relationship with Hashem. You can't amputate a part of yourself and be in a relationship. If being in a relationship means being in a relationship with all of you, lo yitama ba'amav, you can't assimilate, you can't lose a part of you, because then who is Hashem in a relationship with? The job of the great Rebbe, the job of the Kohen, is to make sure all of you comes. So you'll say, Rebbe, I'm a great artist. How do I use that in service of Hashem? If the Rebbe says to you, no, you can't be an artist. That's not a good Rebbe. That's a terrible Rebbe. You know, I'll tell you an amazing story. There's a story with the Lubavitcher Rebbe that there was a person who became frum, and they were a great artist. And they wrote to the Rebbe. They said, am I allowed to be an artist and be frum? So you know what the Rebbe responded? He said, are you an artist? So the person said, yeah. He goes, then how could you not be? If you're really an artist, can you stop being an artist?
No.
An artist cannot stop being an artist any more than I can choose to stop breathing right now. If you're an artist, you're an artist. If you're a dancer, you're a dancer. If you're a musician, you're a musician. You can't stop being these things. It's part of your soul. The only question is, how do you use that in the service of Hashem? How do you make sure that it's not assimilated amongst the goyim? If you have a talent for music, figure out how to use your music to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't listen to or play or engage in music that is destructive. The music of today's generation, look, it's very destructive. These are destructive things that are happening. There's such a thing today called, I'm sure you girls never heard of this, but I'm a very relevant Rebbe, so I know these things. There's such a thing called a diss track. Yeah, it's a whole Drake and Kendrick and whatever. I told you guys, I'm holding.
Even I don't know about that. He's holding.
I'm holding. The boy's explained to me everything. A diss track, it's the craziest thing in the world. A diss track is where they use music to roast each other, to go after each other. First of all, aside from the midos shabbat, that's terrible midos, to rip somebody berabim, not even getting into that. To have public beef with each other, they're terrible. But to use music... The nature of music is that it's supposed to harmonize the whole world. It's supposed to bring the whole world together. Today we use music in the most destructive way possible because it's become, unfortunately, that's the way of the world today, and Jews are listening to this music. They're walking around. You see these guys with these giant earmuffs on, yeah? Larger than their face. It's like the bigger the headphone. It's interesting with headphones. They're either tiny or enormous. It's either AirPods or this, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like they're walking around in Antarctica. And you see these guys, and they're like locked in. And they're like, Rebbe, you know, I don't even listen to the words. Yes, you do. The words are going into your soul, man. They're going into your ears. You want to hear that stuff? You don't want to hear that stuff. That's part of our assimilation into the Goyim. What's our art? What's our music? What's our drama? We have to figure out how to elevate these things. That's the job of a Jew. But unfortunately, we've become assimilated. Whose responsibility is it to bring us back? It's the job of the Kohen, the tzaddikim of our generation, to bring us back. But there's such a thing as a bad tzaddik. There's such a thing as a bad tzaddik. It's okay, it happens. There's such a thing as a bad tzaddik. Look at the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin, the bottom of this page. The Gemara in Kedushin says as follows, Amar Rava. Rav Idi Asberli, Rav Idi explained to me. Rava said, Rav Idi explained to me. Imru tzaddik ki tov. Say about the tzaddik who's tov. V'chiyesh tzaddik tov, v'yesh tzaddik she'eno tov. Is it possible? If a tzaddik is good, is there such a thing as a bad tzaddik? What do you mean a bad tzaddik? How could there be a bad tzaddik? So the Gemara says, Ella, what does it mean? Tov l'shamayim v'labrios zehu tzaddik tov. There's such a thing as a good tzaddik. You know what a good tzaddik is? He's good for Hashem, and he's also good with the creation. I mean, he speaks to people. He knows how to speak to people. But then the Gemara says, there's also somebody who's a tzaddik who's not good. He's not a tzaddik. He's not good. He said, Tov l'shamayim v'ra l'brios. Zehu tzaddik she'eno tov. If you're godly, but you don't do well with people, that's a bad tzaddik. That's a bad tzaddik. But there's an obvious question. What does it mean, a bad tzaddik? How can it be a bad tzaddik? If he's bad with people, is he a tzaddik?
No.
Yeah. It's not his. You could be the frumest guy in the world. You could be learning Gemara all day. You could be learning Tanakh all day. You could daven three times a day. You could chuckle like you're having a seizure. Yeah, you know, you ever see those guys? You ever see like the... I'm not like an exercise person, but I see some of these guys. They're like come out of davening schwitzy. You see them like they're like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like a sort of like they're, it's mamish, it's like a full motion. You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of it, they've probably lost 10 pounds. Just like it's calisthenics. I make don't worry. Girls aren't much better, by the way. I don't understand for the life of me this movie. You'll forgive me for running.
It's okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand this move. This is my favorite move. This is the.
I love it.
I don't understand.
I love it.
It's like it, nobody don't want anyone to see you.
Guys diving like they're on the treadmill.
Just talk to us.
Very beautiful. Guys diving like they're on the treadmill. Girls diving like it's yoga. You know, it's like a slow. I once dated a girl. I knew she was very frum because her makeup was all over the sitter. Oh, so she must have cried all of her makeup onto the sitter. Her sitter looked like a rainbow, you know? Like, I could tell which part she said and which part she didn't say. Those are the parts that weren't colored.
That's back to getting the sitter.
Yeah. I didn't buy one for her. I mean, it didn't work out between us. What does it mean? What does it mean? A tzaddik who's not good with people? If you're not good with people, you're not a tzaddik. You know, I want you to know, I had the opportunity in my life to meet Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Oh, wow. He was so great with people. He was so funny. He had such a smile on his face. And everybody who came into contact with him, they really liked him. You know, I brought them the Vassar boys there one year. And this boy came and he had long hair. And Rav Chaim used to, you know, he's a big joker. He used to make a lot of great jokes. And he looked up at the boy and he sees the boy has long hair. And he looked at his gabbai and he goes, Zeish Oisha. It's a boy or a girl. He had a big smile on his face, and the boy started laughing. He was known, if you came to him with short sleeves, he didn't like short sleeves. He felt it wasn't sneas. Even for boys, he felt it wasn't sneas. So my nephew went to him, and he was wearing short sleeves. And Rav Chaim pulled him in close with a big smile, and he goes, You're very poor? So the boy goes, no. He goes, tell your father to buy the rest of the shirt. A big smile on his face, and he knew how to lighten the room. He was so sweet. Being with Rav Chaim was like candy. And of course, you were with the Gadol Hador. Nobody knew more Torah than Rav Chaim. Nobody learned more Torah than Rav Chaim. But that's what it should be, right? The more Torah you know, the sweeter you are, the more pleasant it is to be in their presence. Derecha darcheinam, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. So here we have a tzaddik who's good with Shemayim, he's good with Hashem, but he's not good with people. It can't be. So says the Radomsker, the Heiliger Radomsker, the Tefer Shlomo, the Chassidic master, the Tefer Shlomo. He says as follows. Unbelievable answer. Avada, he's good with people. It can't be that's what it means. Of course he's good with people. You know what we're talking about? A bad tzaddik? A bad tzaddik is somebody who works on himself, but he doesn't work to help others achieve their own greatness. That's a bad tzaddik. Yeah, you come to him and he'll have a nice word. But you know, the real tzaddik is the one that he sends Jews out and he goes, go bring that Jew back. Go bring that Jew back. He takes responsibility for every single Jew. That's our response. That's what it means to be a Kohen. I want to make sure not just my Jews, every Jew is responsible to bring every other Jew back. You know, that was the greatness of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The greatness of the Lubavitcher Rebbe is he didn't only care about his community. He cared about every single Jew. Not only did he care about every single Jew, he even cared about Goyim. Do you know that the Lubavitcher Rebbe had a big movement that he said we should have in all the public schools? He said, even though there's not prayer in the public schools, but there should be a moment of silence every single day, a moment of meditation for people to connect to their Creator. He lobbied for that because he said, what will be with this world if kids today grow up without a connection to the divine, without a connection to Hashem? And do you know that National Education Day in America is on the Lubavitcher Rebbe's birthday? Because they specifically wanted to recognize the work that he did, not just for Jews, but for everybody. To be a real tzaddik means to take care of every single Jew. So I just want to finish this year with this. If you have questions, ask me privately afterwards.
No, I just want...
Which one do you want me to repeat?
What? Somebody who works on himself.
Somebody who works on himself, that's good for Shemayim. But to be a true tzaddik, he's not a bad guy. Avada, he's good with people. But he doesn't see it as his mission to help others. He's in a certain way, I shouldn't say it like this, but he's like a selfish tzaddik. They call it in Chassidus, they call it a tzaddik in pelts. If you want, if you're cold, there's two things you could do. The first thing you could do is you could put on a warm jacket. You could put on a fur coat, and then you'll be warm. What's the other thing you could do? Mm-hmm. Light a fire. If you light a fire, then everybody could be warm. So let's finish. Let's go back to our original question. What does it mean that a Kohen, Rashi says, for us, a Kohen cannot become Tamei if there's other people to bury him. But if there's nobody else to bury him, then the Kohen has to become Tamei. Says Rav Weinberger, excuse me, unbelievable shot, says Rav Weinberger, if other people can take care of him, that's not the job of the Kohen. You know who the Kohen has to take care of? Those Jews who have nobody to take care of them. Those Jews who have nobody to make sure that their needs are met. That it, when they can't take care of themselves because they're dead, who's going to ensure that they're buried? You know who takes care of that? The Kohen. That's our responsibility. To look around for the Jews that have nobody taking care of them and to say they're my responsibility. In the beginning of this year, we said to Hillel, and I said to you, 2 hours ago, this year would have been different. But today, in this moment, at 9:15 at night, on a Wednesday night in Yerushalayim, when we hear the F-16s going overhead, we have to know that those Yidden, those precious soldiers that are out in Gaza right now, that are fighting, they're fighting for us. Girls, you know what they did? They're our Kohanim. They're taking care of us. They're saying, these girls in Baron Miriam, they can't take care of themselves. Who's going to protect them? So they went ahead and took care of us. And you know what we have a responsibility to them is to take care of them. We have a responsibility, though they can't do anything for themselves right now. They're maybe Chas V'Shalom injured. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to daven for them? You know, they can't necessarily daven for themselves right now. So who's going to daven for them? We are. We're going to take responsibility. We're going to make sure that those Jews are able to show up to Har Sinai. We're the Kohanim. That's what we're called. Mamleches Kohanim. We're a nation of Kohanim. It's more than just taking responsibility for each other. It's making sure that all of them are brought to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Shavuos is not that far. The wedding is approaching. We're mamish already in the last minutes before the wedding of Har Sinai. Every one of us has to take Kabbalah on ourselves right now that our lives are going to be dedicated not only to ourselves, not only to our families, but to those Jews who can't necessarily help themselves. Just like other Jews don't take care, just like other Jews take care of us, we're going to take care of them as well.